435 in the Anchorage Bowl. By the way, it is overcast with a light rain. Couple of holes in those clouds up there, though. You never know. 52 degrees presently in our fair city, 55 and cloudy up in the valley, and a light rain falls down in Anchor Point, home of Kristen, our Kenai connection, where it is a balmy 54. 929-5160, the telephone number here in our luxurious Midtown studio. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on KUDO 1080 AM. We are joined in the studio right now by a good friend of ours who's been on the show several times, Mr. Steve Cleary, the director of ACPIRG, the Alaska Public Interest Research Group. Steve, good to see you. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me on again.
You bet. Good to have you back. JR is busy working on getting Representative Guttenberg, your partner in crime. He's in Fairbanks. You two were the masterminds, of course, of the campaign finance reform initiative that Alaskans overwhelmingly approved in the August 22nd primary. I don't think we've had a chance to talk to you about it since then, but high five.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
very exciting,
man.
Very exciting. David Guttenberg, who will be on in just a sec, is one of the three co-sponsors of the initiative, along with Harry Crawford and Eric Croft, and they really did a great job getting it on the ballot, getting over 36,000 signatures to put it on the ballot, and we thought it would do pretty well, but nobody thought it would get 73% of the vote, which was just an out.
That's amazing.
Amazing, and really very grateful to all the Alaskans who voted for it, and it really just shows people want big money out of Alaska politics, and other examples in the primary show that people are tired of politics as usual, and we're just happy to be able to offer that to the citizens through the initiative process, which we think is a really good way to affect positive change.
Now, we've been here before. It was back in 1996 that a very similar initiative passed, and it was the Murkowski Republican gang in Juneau that decided to undo that voter-initiated ballot initiative. Do you foresee in the current political climate, and the political climate in Alaska is really, it's I don't know how to describe it. I've never seen anything like it. I believe that this is a historic moment in Alaska politics. Given the current throw-the-bums-out mentality that seems to be pervading Alaska politics right now with the FBI investigation and the tremendous victories in the primary elections, do you foresee any problems with this one? Do you think that they might take a stab at undoing this one as well?
It would surprise me if they did, but we're not. We're really not letting down our guard. ACPIRG is going to do a survey of all the candidates out there to ask them if they'll pledge now to not vote while they're in Juneau to raise the limits, because, you know, everybody, it seemed as though everybody was in favor of it. 73% is very close to everybody, probably as close as you usually get in an election, but things change once people get down to Juneau, so we really want to get people on record and hold their feet to the fire and make sure they're not going to change these important reforms that Alaskans voted for.
Meanwhile, JR, our brave, intrepid producer, has been successful at making a connection with Representative David Guttenberg, who joins us on the phone right now via Fairbanks. Representative Guttenberg, are you there, sir?
I am, but I can hardly hear you.
JR, can we make the volume a little louder for him on there? Is that a little bit better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
A little bit better.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Representative Guttenberg. Good to hear from you. Good to have you on the show again.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and a greeting from the sunny interior.
Is it sunny up there right now?
It's warm and sunny today.
Oh, that's not fair. Hey, Steve, let's hop in the car after the show and head up to Fairbanks for the weekend. How about that?
Yeah,
come
there.
On up.
Sounds good. Representative Guttenberg, before we got you on the phone, I was busy high-fiving and congratulating Steve Cleary. I'll say the same to you. Congratulations on that's got to be some kind of a record for approval of a ballot initiative, 73%. Did you see that coming? Were you surprised by the results?
Well, you know, it's not so much congratulations to us, but it's congratulations to the people of the state of Alaska who understand what this issue is about. You know, the legislature doesn't seem to. They're still making these profoundly bizarre statements about justifying raising the limits back while they're driving wages down and working on making sure minimum wage doesn't go up. So it's delighted to hear about, to see the results. And but it's not us, it's the people that understand this issue, and it's the politicians that seem to not.
Representative David Guttenberg, our guest on the phone, live in the studio with us, Steve Cleary from ACPIRG. Our phone lines are open at 929-5160. If you've got a question, a comment, or congratulations, appreciation for our guests. You know, the lopsided victory of this ballot initiative and the political climate in Alaska right now, like we were talking, it makes me think that the citizens of Alaska might be ready for even more when it comes to limiting the amount of financial influence in campaigning. Steve, I know you and I have talked about this before. Representative Guttenberg, I want to put this idea before you. There's a handful of states, including conservative Arizona, that has gone to a concept called clean elections, where they are basically publicly financed campaigns. I'm not sure of all of the details, but I believe that in Arizona, candidates have the option of choosing whether to take part in the system or not. From what I understand, most of them do, and it's been very successful at limiting the amount of power that powerful organizations like, say, I don't know, Vico, have with candidates in elections. Have you guys taken a look at the idea of clean elections, or if not that, some other way to further advance the idea of campaign finance reform?
Let's see. I haven't. I get pretty busy with endless special sessions that the governor calls to, to address his fetishes. And now we're in campaign mode and kind of nose to the grindstone on getting that stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons I'm in this is because I think the incumbents, of which I am one now, have so much advantage going into an election with name recognition and, 2 years of press releases and talking to the public, and we can do a lot of things to level the playing field. But it really becomes a hard sell on having incumbents in office recognize that.
And I think that's an important point that Representative Guttenberg brings up. And I was in a debate on Measure Number 1 against Randy Riedrich, the chair of the Republican Party, and he kept saying that that our ballot initiative was the Incumbent Protection Act, that it was going to, help incumbents more, and we were saying that it was going to level the playing field. And his point was that evidently challengers were going to be able to raise these $1,000 checks, and now we were taking that power away from the challengers, and so the playing field wasn't leveled. But he also said that
I don't understand that logic at all either.
But you'll laugh even more at this. He said that, and this was about both Ballot Measure 1 and Ballot Measure 2. I think for Ballot Measure 1, 98% of the of his Republican Central Committee, he kept saying, had voted to oppose it, and then 100% had voted against the Ballot Measure 2, the cruise ship initiative, and both of which passed. And it was surprising to see that the Karl Rove of Alaska could be that out of touch with voters, and that voters would be in such a favor of reform. And it's really hats off to David Guttenberg and the other sponsors of the campaign finance reform initiative that really shows people are, as I said before, tired of politics as usual.
You're absolutely right. They still don't get it. Even with all of this, it makes you wonder, maybe finally the federal government getting involved and the FBI coming in and carting out evidence boxes out of Ben Stevens' office, maybe that'll finally be the slap in the face that wakes him up. But so far, it seems like the state Republican Party is so out of tune with the Alaska voters that I don't know if they'll ever be able to make up that gap. I don't know. We'll see. Go ahead, Representative Goodman.
Yeah, well, certainly... from Ruderick, I think everything is spin, and they saw the only way they were going to have a chance on this is to spin it that way, because they know that in elections the advantages to incumbents and to say this was incumbent protection was the public simply didn't buy into that. I mean, it was just so obvious, the barrage of media that happened at the end of the campaign. The public knows that there's hundreds and thousands of dollars being spent. Influence them, and just on that alone, people get tired of it.
Absolutely. When you start talking about, here, Vico, and everybody's known about this for a long time, for decades, really, the political influence that oil services company has had in Alaska politics, now all of that come to a head, and it really has brought the point home. And this all happened after your bill passed overwhelmingly.
Right.
But it just serves as a reminder to everyone why legislation like this is necessary. We got to take a break
sure.
here. there at 4:45. Steve Cleary, the director of Alaska Public Interest Research Group, and Representative David Guttenberg from Fairbanks are with us today on this segment. 929-5160, the telephone number. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. We'll be right back after these messages. And welcome back, folks. You're tuned into KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage, and this is the Aaron Selbig Show. We're joined on the phone live via Fairbanks by Representative David Guttenberg, and in the studio with us here, our good friend Steve Cleary, the director of Alaska Public Interest Research Group. These guys, along with Eric Croft and Harry Crawford, are the ones that brought you the Campaign Finance Reform Initiative, which you, voters of Alaska, passed overwhelmingly on August 22nd. What's going on, Steve, if you could tell me nationally or in other areas regarding campaign finance reform? I know that there's a lot of parallels between what's going on in national politics and here in Alaska. I know other states are going through the same thing. Corruption, scandals, Republicans dropping off like flies. We had a caller earlier that we were discussing this with, Republican candidates avoiding President Bush as much as possible. And really, Republicans are kind of nationwide and here in Alaska seem like they're scurrying for cover in this upcoming election cycle and worried about losing power, not just in Juneau, but in Washington, D.C. as well. Does this give more fuel for campaign finance reform initiatives in other states and nationally?
Well, I really think it does, and we're really excited to put people back into politics and get the influence of big corporations and big money out of our political process, because we just believe that that's the healthy way for our democracy to thrive. You did mention Arizona earlier, where they've had great success across the board, really, with clean elections. And that model there has inspired 35 other states to take somewhat similar, maybe not as many steps as Arizona has. But that's, again, the clean elections, the publicly funded elections are another way that people are taking back their government, really. And we hope that it's a signal across the nation that, you know, politics can't just continue. The Bob Ney case just on the radio again of the, you know, first one to go down in the Abramoff scandal. But really, it's lessons that we have to learn both here in the state, you know, with our own FBI probe, but in D.C. as well, that the continual revolving door and the continuation of money in politics is really going to be a corruption.
Speaking of the corruption in the FBI investigation, Representative Guttenberg, we haven't had you on the show since this story broke, one of the biggest stories in Alaska politics history. I wanted to get your take on what happened. What was your initial reaction when you heard that there was a synchronized FBI raid all over the state, gathering evidence from the offices of six of your compatriots there in the Alaska legislature? What's your reaction to it, and where do you think it might go?
Well, certainly disappointment that other members are being scrutinized like this by the FBI. You know, in many ways, we have a problem in the legislature. Certainly the Democrats have, and I think the as a direct result, I think the public has a larger problem, and that is there's no debate goes on. You know, the dialogue goes on behind the Republican caucus about what they're going to do, and you get out onto the floor or in committee, and nobody asks a question. We don't get to debate anything because they've already decided what they're going to do, and nobody's seen that. The FBI investigation and some of the allegations, you know, it kind of gives us some understanding of how those decisions were made, because they were made with money being an influence. And, you know, you always have to go back to the movie Casablanca, where the inspector comes in and says, you know, shocked that there's gambling in this building.
Absolutely, appalled.
It certainly is disappointing.
Yeah, I think Beth Bragg here at the Anchorage Daily News summed it up really well in a column she wrote that, oh my gosh, you mean oil money is influencing Alaska politics? You've got to be kidding. and she laid some of the blame on the legislature for not policing themselves, and some of the blame, and I think it's due to Alaska voters, who, it's not a secret that Vico has been donating lots and lots of money, probably on behalf of the oil companies who don't do it directly anymore, to Alaska candidates, and friendly to them and their cause, and we've known about it for a long time, but Alaska voters just keep voting those guys back in. We got to take a short break here on the Aaron Selbig Show. Representative David Guttenberg on the phone with us from Fairbanks, and Steve Cleary from ACPIRG with us in the studio. Our phone line, 929-5160. If you'd like to jump into the conversation, we shall return. And welcome back, folks. 4:55 in the Anchorage Bowl. Steve Cleary and Representative David Guttenberg, our guests. Let's go to line one and take a call before we break for Air America News. We go to line one now, where we're joined by Jim. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks.
What's on your mind, sir?
Another area that should be blamed is the news media, because they aren't very, they don't examine the oil industry very close, and there's a lot of advertising that might explain it, even though there's no Exxon, well, I don't remember any Exxon gas stations or Phillips gas stations, BP gas stations, but they advertise as if they're selling cars. It's really political ads trying to sway the electorate one to their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And also the media involved, they don't want to jeopardize that account. It's one of their juiciest accounts in almost every media outlet is the oil company full-page ads.
Oh, yeah, they're very expensive, too.
Spots on the TV. The interesting thing about the last election, you have to wonder if they hadn't advertised at all, and they had massive, really sophisticated campaigns on those two ballot measures, if they hadn't advertised, would the vote have been higher for those measures, or have people finally figured out the fancier ads are not the best deal for them?
Yeah, I think you're hitting it on the head there, Jim, particularly with ballot measure 2 that had $1.5 or better million dollars on their side.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just went over the top. You know, if you get a glossy full-page ad twice a day sometimes in your mailbox, you know, you got to start to suspect, well, what are they really talking about, and why aren't they ever mentioning cruise ships in their ads when it's really about cruise ships. But I think the amount of advertising going into to influence people is certainly something people and the media should be aware of. In addition, I printed out a bill before I came over here that would lessen the ability of oil companies, and, you know, I'll point out Vico as a, for instance, being able to pay for consultants who are also legislators. And this is a bill that actually Representative Guttenberg was a co-sponsor of. Representative Gardner was the main sponsor. But a pretty simple bill that would just give more Alaskans more facts about, you know, if Senator Stevens or if whoever are doing consulting, what they're actually doing, how much they're working, not just how much they're getting paid.
Berta Gardner's bill was blocked in the Senate Judiciary, the House Judiciary Committee in the last legislature, which is chaired by Liesl McGuire, whose husband Tom Anderson received one of those Vico mysterious consulting contracts for $30,000. Representative Guttenberg, a similar piece of legislation, if it's reintroduced in the next legislature, do you think it's got a better chance?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think one of the things that we simply don't have enough of is dialogue on these things and discussion. You know, they simply shut them down by not scheduling them or not having real hearings. You know, and a clear example of this, it's not quite on this issue, but I sponsored a series of bills that Consumer Union picked up and called the Legislative Truth Packet. And the only hearing I could get out of them was one little hearing out of the Hess Committee, where the Republican chair just said, well, we're going to put the Democratic proposals together because we have none of our own, and you know, just come up with something and do nothing with it. So, you know, legitimate things, legitimate concerns that the people of the state of Alaska have simply don't get heard. They get shut down before a dialogue even begins.
It seems that way.
The people of the state of Alaska need to be addressed. Now, you know,
we've got a break here, Representative Guttenberg. I'm sorry. It's Air America News coming up right now. We'll continue this on the other side. And welcome back, friends. Alaskans, countrymen, and women, lend us your ears. It's 5.07 p.m. in the Anchorage Bowl, and it is time on Kudo 1080 a.m. for Hour 2 of the Aaron Selbig Show. I'm your host, Aaron Selbig, joined alongside by our brave, intrepid producer extraordinaire, J.R. Zufelt. Also in the studio with us, Steve Cleary, our guest this segment. Steve is the executive director of the Alaska Public Interest Research Group. And on the phone line, JR is trying to get him on the phone line, Representative David Guttenberg from Fairbanks. Steve, we were talking on the other side of the hour there about these groups, particularly Alaskans Protecting Our Economy. They always have these warm, fuzzy names. These front groups, these front organizations that come along, they spend a lot of money. You pointed out in the case of Alaskans Protecting Our Economy, it was over $1 million that they spent on advertising. This was related to ballot measure 2, the cruise ship tax initiative, which did pass. It was much closer than ballot measure 1, your initiative, but it did pass in spite of the advertising campaign. You know, another one that comes to mind recently is Alaska's Future, which is, you know, trying to tell us that if we don't do what the oil companies want regarding tax restructuring and a gas pipeline deal with Frank Murkowski, that they're going to have to pull up stakes and leave the state. We're going to lose all our charity money that they spend. There will be no renewable energy resources that BP is so proud of and pats themselves on the back for. All this stuff. These front organizations, if you follow the money, they are put forward by, in the case of Alaska's Future, the oil industry, in the case of Alaskans Protecting Our Economy, the Northwest Cruise Ship Association via the cruise lines from Miami. This is where their money is coming from. You were successful, very successful, in getting this, tapping into voter dissatisfaction regarding campaign finance reform and getting big money out of politics. What about some kind of a ballot initiative or maybe a piece of legislation on the part of Representative Guttenberg going after honesty, truth, and advertising for these front organizations like Alaska's Future and Alaskans Protecting Our Economy? Do you think there might be a possibility of doing something like that?
Well, I think that's definitely a good idea, and we've seen now that the initiative process can accomplish what the legislature won't do, as Representative Guttenberg was alluding to before. Sometimes you just can't even get things heard, and then we put it to the voters, and it passes with 73%. So I think there is room there for getting better accountability and better, just better truth, as you said, in this advertising, which is political advertising. One thing I did want to bring up is that on September 21st, I believe, the Alaska Public Offices Commission is having a hearing about Alaska's Future and whether or not they have to disclose, which they haven't so far, where their money is actually coming from.
Oh, really?
I don't think it's a surprise to you or me that it's probably the oil industry, but they haven't stated that they are in opposition or in favor of the gas tax ballot measure that's going to be on the ballot, on the November ballot, but they've come out with ads that say, kill the gas tax measure.
Right, right.
So it's no secret which side they're on. Mm-hmm. And if anybody says, kill another ballot initiative, of course, you know the opinion. So what I'm really hoping for out of that AIPAC hearing, and we'll have Representative Guttenberg talk about this as well, but I'm really hoping that AIPAC steps forward and really proactively does something in this case. Often, AIPAC complaints are filed. They're not resolved for a year. The election's long gone. Everybody's forgot about it. Somebody pays a nominal fine, and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a real opportunity for the Alaska Public Offices Commission to step in, give Alaskans the information that they could use in the November ballot.
These groups are really sneaky, really tricky. I don't know about Alaska's Future, but in the case of Alaskans Protecting Our Economy, on their, I believe it was on their website, they put this big list of all of these Alaskans and Alaska businesses that were on their side that supposedly supported their cause. The problem was when some reporters went and contacted these people, they never heard of them. They never gave them permission to use their names. Representative Guttenberg, is there any possibility of putting a leash on these front organizations that spend all of this money on advertising, skirting the AIPAC rules?
Well, this is a tough one. I mean, you would like to think there would be, but the fact of the matter is that when you get down to what most of them are saying, and I think Alaska's Future, I think that group has stepped way over the line, and I don't think they actually care. But, you know, they're just expressing an opinion. It comes down to having a legislature that is actually willing to fight for and defend the Constitution to all comers. You know, what the Constitution says, our resources to be developed for the maximum benefit of Alaskans. you know, if you don't have the will to do that, just don't run for office. That's what it boils down to. And, you know, it's not the oil industry or Alaskans. They're here. The cruise industry, they're here. This is a destination, you know, for tourists. This is where they want to come. You know, and the same thing holds true with the oil industry. The same subject, the same reason why people are in Alaska. You know, Middle East tours are not popular because, you know, the political instability and people don't know what's going to happen. And we know that the oil industry is coming back to places where there is a stable political environment. They're just knuckling and elbowing their way into a bigger piece of the pot. And, you know, you can't blame them for that, but you've got to have politicians that are actually going to stand up and say, you know, these are our resources, this is our state. We're going to capitalize on what we have, because when it's gone, we have nothing. So it's just having people that are willing to say the right thing and defend the state at all times, at all comers, whatever that is.
Representative David Guttenberg, our guest on the phone live from Fairbanks. With us in the studio, Steve Cleary from ACBURG. Our phone lines are open at 929-5160 if you've got a question or comment for these guys. If you don't mind, fellas, I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about this story that just came out today. We were talking about it earlier on the show. Governor Murkowski is scheduled to leave office on December 4th. He's in obviously the last stages of his lame duck governorship, but he took an unusual action today. He is giving pay raises to 74 state agency directors, this coming at a cost to the state of nearly $500,000 per year. Steve, you were quoted in the story today, and I think you made an excellent point, that coming off the heels of the news earlier this week that the amount of money that school districts, that boroughs and municipalities are going to have to put into their pension fund, and it has doubled or is going to double next year unless the legislature steps in and changes it, the timing is definitely questionable. What's your reaction to what the governor did today?
Well, that's exactly it. Just that, you know, coming on the heels of school districts across the state, of the public employees' retirement system being so far in arrears, that the governor would come out and give pay raises to top executives who are going to be leaving, as you said, in a couple months, hiding behind the, you know, the smoke screen that, well, we need to, you know, have competitive salaries to you know, pull in qualified people. That may well be true, but the timing of that doesn't indicate that these people who are on their way out need these raises now. And it really just sets a bad tone, I think, for people trusting in their government of you know, thinking that the needs of Alaskans are really going to be met by the government when here they are giving raises to executives in this time of shortfalls across the board, be it school districts or public employee retirements.
Representative Guttenberg, I know that that Fairbanks especially is going to be hard hit by this budget shortfall, the money that they're going to have to put in next year to the public employees' retirement system. What do you think about the governor's action of dipping in even more to the state coffers to the tune of $500,000 a year to give some sweet raises to some state agency directors?
Well, you know, the governor has a history of rewarding his friends and punishing his enemies, even when they're just basically Alaskans trying to make a living, you know, put a meal on the table. Part of the problem in the tourist PERS debate is they really did nothing except increase the liability. You know, this was a big debate in the legislature. We went into a special session for it a couple of years ago. This administration's done nothing. You know, they changed the system simply because they wanted to privatize it, not because of the liability. And since they changed it, they've done nothing to reduce the cost of the program. And there's things out there. I mean, I talked about my prescription drug plans to lower the price of prescription drugs. You could reorganize the medical community about how services are delivered. Drive those liabilities down. I mean, part of this liability is that it's an escalating. It's 1 year, next year, it's exponential. You know, so a dollar cut out this year is $3 next year, and it just goes on. You know, they simply have not addressed the whole issue in a way that does anything except privatize it, because it appears that they simply had marching orders from Washington, D.C., and that's what they wanted them to do. They didn't take an adequate look at it, and now what do we have? We have local communities being stretched out on the rack to pay for their blunder.
We got to take a short break here on the Aaron Selbig Show. Representative David Guttenberg and Steve Cleary from ACPRG are guests. Our phone lines are open in the studio at 929-5160. If you've got a question or comment for our guests, I'm Aaron Selbig, and I promise we shall return. And welcome back, folks. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM in Anchorage, and this is the Aaron Selbig Show. 5:21 p.m. in our fair city. We've got guests in the studio this segment. Steve Cleary from ACPRG in the studio with us, and joining us live via phone from Fairbanks, Representative David Guttenberg. If you'd like to jump into the conversation, 929-5160, the telephone number. JR, let's go to the phones now to line one and Kristen, our Kenai connection. Hey, Kristen, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
What's on your mind today?
Well, it seems to me about this retirement thing. First of all, this wasn't the legislature who passed a law saying that they have to do this, is it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, then the boroughs, the municipalities, and the school districts have no choice but to just plain ass refuse to do it and to join a class action suit to sue the state.
Wow.
To make them fulfill their obligation. This is the state's obligation. This is what the state owes into this program, not what these people owe. They've been paying their share into the program, and they just have to sue the state, make the state shoulder the responsibility. They've just got to fight it. They've got to go to court.
That's a provocative and interesting idea, and I certainly wouldn't blame communities if they decided to band together and do that. I think especially the smaller communities and the smaller school districts are going to be adversely affected by this. But
well, yeah, this will just wipe out village areas.
Oh, yeah. And down there where you are, Kristen, the Kenai Peninsula School District, I don't know what they're going to do. The city of Fairbanks, they're in equally hot water. Just to make this clear for folks, in the last legislature, they restructured the way that pensions are paid for public employees and teachers. And in part of that law, and Representative Guttenberg, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but part of what they did was to take away a 5% cap on how much of an increase that these school districts and boroughs would have to pay every year. So now you're looking at, in some cases, a 300-500% increase. They're doubling the amount of money that these people are going to have to pay into the pensions next year. Representative Guttenberg, can you field this one? What can boroughs, communities, and school districts do to fight this? Because obviously, the way this is set out now, it's just not going to work.
Well, I think there's some, and I'm not a lawyer, but I think there's some legal basis on what he's talking about. You know, the state has its retirement board that did not manage these funds over the years. They were managed by political appointees out of the governors and, you know, division of directors of retirement, and those guys managed them. So even there was no buy-in to where they were managed, and the municipalities and school districts and such all suffered by the mismanagement. And at one point, they even lowered the rate that they were paying in because there was a miscalculation. And I think the state should really consider looking to Mercer, who was the actuarial firm that was involved in this over the years, and their calculations. And they always go back, you know, they say, well, those were just recommendations that we had. We just put them on the table. It's up to you guys to make the decision. Well, we're making the decision based upon everything that they did. And they are supposed to be the people that were generating the numbers, the actuaries that are generating the numbers for the state to make its decision. So if they're not going to stand by their numbers, then there's some issues about liability for some of the things that they did. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've got state employees, and we've got rising health care costs and medical costs. You know, unfortunately, it's going to be decimating many, many communities on this. But coming back to what the caller talked about, I think part of the problem is the thing that we changed wasn't explored enough in enough depth. We didn't have we know state employees involved in the management of the retirement system were muffled, that they couldn't come forward and talk about the issue. We still need to have that play out in its entirety. Both gubernatorial campaign candidates have said that they would revisit it, and I think
I think that should happen regardless, and I'm glad that they both said that, because I think the whole world of the state pension, TERS and PERS, actually needs to be aired out. This administration didn't do that. Look what it's doing to communities now.
Thank you, Kristen, for the call. We've got to take a one-minute break here on the Aaron Selbig Show. We'll be right back on the other side with Steve Cleary and Representative David Guttenberg. And welcome back. We've just got a couple of minutes before we let these guys go at the bottom of the hour. Thanks again to Steve and to you, David, for joining us on the show today. I've got one more question I want to put forward to you, Representative Guttenberg, about the FBI corruption investigation. Randy Ruedrich seems to be blaming the FBI that they're not giving us enough information. We had Jake Metcalf on the show the other day from the Alaska Democratic Party, who makes the suggestion that Randy Ruedrich and the Republican Party should come clean with the Alaskan voters, that if they were straightforward and said, hey, here's who's involved with what, we're sorry, we're going to change the way things are going on, but lay it out on the table and what's going on, that would go a long way to mending public confidence in them. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, yeah, but I certainly agree. And, you know, politically it would be a smart thing to them to do. The problem is they don't think they've done anything wrong. You know, there's enough legislators that haven't given back their RICO money that have said, even Representative Coghill, the House Majority Leader, has said, you know, it's the cost of getting into his office. Very disturbing. You know, there's a couple of basic things you do in politics when you're in trouble, and even in life, you know, one of them is you stop digging a hole for yourself. you know, and you try and you fill it in. But that would be the smart thing for them to do. But you have to assume that you have to understand that you've done something wrong, and they're not there. They know if they don't have those big dollars from Vico and the oil industry, that you know, they're not going to get their extreme agenda across in the legislature, and that's what it's about. They get their extreme social agenda across. The industry gets its economic development for Alaska's resources across. They win. Their people are in office. You're not in office. You're not in control. You don't have an agenda. It doesn't matter what ethics say.
We've got a break here at the bottom of the hour. Thanks a lot, Representative Guttenberg and Steve Cleary, for joining us. It was a pleasure, as always.
Thanks, Aaron.